Please stand for the reading of God's holy word and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28. And I am so pleased to be here tonight, for this is a tradition now on Saturday nights. We've been doing it so long. The Second Coming Chapel meeting and service. And we are thankful to the Lord that we have resumed approaching 1,000 each. The companion podcasts that go with this preaching service, the Prophet Daniel's update, and the Second Coming Watch update. And it's just so good to be in the presence of the Lord. How to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation. Part 11. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. I told my oldest daughter, Danny, last night that she was the last one who would look at my face before I preached to let me know if there was anything on my face. And no one else has done that. And so everybody look at me and make sure there's nothing on my face from this cloth, and make sure that I am looking right over here. Everybody, give me a thumbs up if everything's okay. You're looking at me through the camera. What's wrong? Huh? Say it again. I can't hear you. Okay, there you go. That's very important. Very important. I'm glad I said that. I don't have any foreign matter on my face, but I don't have something on my face that I should have on my face. The mic. Testing 1, 2, 3. Is that better? We come back to this fascinating passage of scripture. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And of course, you remember, as I pointed out last week, he was on the run like so many of the men of God down through the years. Sometimes God has to put the man of God on the run to get him alone and get him away from his family, his mom and them, and so that he can deal with them. And he lighted upon a certain place. You will find in your Christian journey that place is important. Throughout the Bible, you will find that being in the right place where God wants you to be is crucial. Every pastor who is in the right place will tell you that God has blessed him there and established him there in the ministry. Favor is there when you're in the right place. If you're not where God wants you to be, you are going to be in a world of trouble. And God has a way of getting you into the right place. You need to be where God wants you to be. Otherwise, you're going to be out of place. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Pardon me. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Somebody once said that the Jews are in every nation of the world. You will find a pocket of Jews, and they have been a blessing to every country in more ways than one. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And this is a deep prophecy for the young man Jacob. This is very deep. This is taking things way into the future. And to receive such a prophecy for Jacob, who was on the run, was quite something. Allow me to read it again. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillow, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, clothes to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Holy Father God in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, we don't understand it all, but we thank you for it all. And we thank you that you have made us through Jesus Christ sons and daughters of Abraham, the great man of faith. Thank you, Lord, for grafting us in. We don't deserve to be in, but thank you for your favor, your grace, and your mercy to such wretched Gentiles as we are. And tonight, Lord, we come before your throne of grace boldly as you have told us to, but humbly, individually, hopefully, and collectively, hopefully, to confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you, our foolishness, our disobedience, the bad attitudes, the bad spirits, the hatefulness, the meanness. We don't like to talk about these things in the modern church, but they are very real problems hidden away in hypocrites, phonies and fakes at home, but who try to portray themselves as great, happy, joyful family people in the church and in the community. Liars they are. And so, Lord, have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive the hypocrites among us and all around us. And, Lord, because you know the truth, the whole truth. And, Lord, help everybody to humble themselves if they know Christ as Savior and repent of their sins, confess their sins, repent of their sins, and choose to turn away from evil and choose to begin to do good or to learn to do good. And give us all your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. So many in church today, Lord, need to be saved. They've never been born again. Lord, you know who they are. Open their blinded eyes, their religious eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls and change their lives. And Holy Father God, for those of us who are truly born again, truly saved, and filled with your blessed Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to hope in the blessed hope. And Lord, help us to keep looking up because our redemption draweth nigh. Lord, help us to keep on looking to the eastern sky. Help us, Lord, to be rapture ready at all times. Wash and cleanse our hearts, minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of Christ. Make us to be whiter than snow. For you have commanded us to wash up and to clean ourselves. And Lord, we pray for pure hearts and right spirits and clear minds. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and his demons and his hosts and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, sabotage and foolishness, Sanballat and Tobias spirit out of the people who have that trash in their lives, that garbage in their lives. And Lord, clean them up of that foolishness. Help them to take you seriously, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and fill all of us with your Holy Spirit and manifest the fruit of your Holy Spirit in and through our lives. And we pray that over 3 million souls would come to know you as Savior if they have not been saved already. 3 million Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ exalted. For it is in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. How to hope. How to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation. Part 11. Dr. Daniel Hyde said, "The eternal God, who is not constrained by the existence of time, the infinite God, who is not bound by the constraints of space, condescended to the weakness of his people and became manifest. For their benefit in one locale." This God is not bound by time, but he bound himself to the time-bound experience of his people. He is above all creational constraints, but he bound himself to them. And that's love. He is everywhere, but he chose to be there. And that's God for you. That's the love that God has for his people. He condescends to men of low estate and makes wonderful things happen. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, the psalmist said. Ladies and gentlemen, on last week we looked at the experience of Jacob and his first real encounter with the God of his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. It is important to point out here that while we today speak of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, at that point it was the God of Abraham and Isaac, not Jacob. And we say this collectively now. Each of these Hebrew patriarchs, however, had to get to know God for themselves. Amen, somebody. This is why we say that you cannot get to heaven on your grandmother's salvation. You cannot get to heaven on your father's salvation. You've got to know God for yourself. I had the joy and the privilege that few fathers have. My oldest children, who are on their own now and serving God on their own. Every year they do something for me on Father's Day. And we had a terrible storm to pass right where we were going to meet for Father's Day dinner on Sunday. Father's Day Sunday. And so we postponed it till Friday. And oh, what a time, what a joy, what a blessing it was to have the Father's Day dinner with them. But the greatest joy for me is that they both know the Lord for themselves. I've never had to tell them to go to church after they left home. They go to church now just as much as they did when they were here. They're in church every day, almost, serving the Lord, leading groups, going on mission trips. They pray every morning and every day, not because I remind them, but because that's all they know. From the time they were conceived in the womb, all they heard was their father praying for them and reading the Word of God every morning. My point is, we all have to know God for ourselves. You can't ride on the coattails of your father or your mother. You've got to know God for yourself. You need to know him for yourself, particularly if you're going to be saved and if you want to make it in this life. It was a blessing to hear that Steph Curry learned that in the eighth grade. His dad was saved, his mother was saved, they loved the Lord. They made the children go to church, but the Lord spoke to his heart in the eighth grade while a youth minister was preaching. And it hit Steph Curry that, I'm going along with this church thing, but I don't know the Lord for myself. And so he went down to the altar and met Jesus for himself. Jacob, ladies and gentlemen, alone and on the run, first hears from God in the form of a dream. A ladder reaches from earth to heaven. the Lord whom many believe to be the pre-incarnate Christ is at the top of the ladder. And the angels are ascending and descending. You might be familiar with the old Negro spiritual, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." I feel like singing it right now. The first stanza says, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, soldiers of the cross. I got some folks in the crowd laughing right now because they know I can't sing. But as Pastor Andrew Hellman said, I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Well, the song is a beautiful song, and we understand it. We can get something out of it. But the song is really not theologically correct. As we saw last week, this ladder between earth and heaven is so that God can come down. For the Lord was standing at the top of the ladder. Not so man can climb up, working his way to heaven. It doesn't work that way. God, in his love, I can't hear nobody. God, in his grace, God, in his mercy, chose to come down to us because we didn't have the strength, we didn't have the might, we didn't have the power, we didn't have the morality, we didn't have the perfection and the holiness to climb up. Now that's love for you. That's all I can say, and that's all I find myself saying almost every day. Now, God's love is amazing. That's love for you. When God will condescend to men of lower state, men who are not worth a flip, men who are no good, women who are no good, who are corrupt with sin. The Tower of Babel, man's attempt to build and climb a ladder to heaven, to God, was a failure because it was rooted in humanistic pride. And God slammed it down to the ground. And every attempt of man to climb up to God since then has likewise failed. All climbing religions fail. There are some people in the world who climb on their knees up stone steps trying to get to God, trying to prove that they love God and they are righteous. All climbing religions have failed. That means all doing religions have failed. There's only one done religion. That's when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished. And all you have to do is believe on me. I have paved the way for you. I am God's sacrificial lamb who has taken away the sin of the world. And all you have to do is believe on me." That's a done religion, not a doing religion. Salvation is a done deal. All you have to do is believe. Not climb, no climbing. No running, no working. No trying to sweat it out and do it yourself. Gritting your teeth, all that means nothing. you will die and go to hell trying to climb your way up to heaven. You say, preacher, they don't get any credit. No, they don't. The only work that God wants you to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Bible. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Jacob's ladder is a foreshadowing of God sending his son, Jesus Christ, down to man to save and bless the human race. And since Jesus came, nothing has been the same. When Jacob awakes from his dream, he knows immediately that the Lord has spoken to him. He says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Today we are going to look at Jacob's reaction, if you will, to the Lord's presence. There are three specific ways in which we ought to follow Jacob's example as we wait for the Lord's second coming. First, Jacob made a place for God, and we ought to make a place for God as well in our lives. After Jacob saw the vision, he understood the importance of making place, making room for God. He rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, P-I-L-L-O-W-S, and set it up for a pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, it's the difference. And he called the name of that place Bethel. The word Bethel means house of God. Jacob made room for God in his life. How about you, dear friend? Even though he was afraid of what the Lord's presence might mean, he recognized the significance of it in light of the promise that God had made to him and to his father. Allow me to share something with you the Lord has shown me very clearly. That because of the our sinful nature, because of sin in our lives, it is built into us not to make room for God. And so the no room in the inn story about Jesus coming has no small significance. This is the story of the human race. I don't care how you schedule your life. Even those of us who are faithful in making room for God, for example, in the morning for family devotions, and there are few, and that few in number who do that. No matter how you order your life, because of this sin-cursed world and our sinful nature, is just built into us not to have room for God. We still feel rushed. We still feel the pressure to move it along. Andy Stanley complimented a preacher who preaches over an hour every Sunday. Andy said he doesn't know how he gets away with it. Why? Because Andy, along with so many other young preachers today, have locked themselves into what the crowd wants, 20-minute sermons. Squeezing out God. And I don't care who you are, the devil is going to tempt you to squeeze God out of your life. It's amazing how we can find time for everything else. We can find time for a 4-hour baseball game in the heat. We can find time for fishing and stay out there half a day, all day long. I have a preacher, that's how he relaxes, going fishing. We can find time for a football game, 3 hours. We can find time to go to the restaurant. We don't think about it, stay there the whole hour. After church, after the poor preacher has broken his neck to get through in 15 or 20 minutes. It's built in to us. In our sinful nature and in our sin-cursed world, the heat is on. The pressure is on. The push is on to squeeze God out. To squeeze Jesus out. To squeeze serving God out. Why is it that you have 2 and 3 hours scheduled to go to the mall and just stroll and you don't have a dime just to look? You call it window shopping. But you don't have 5 minutes to pass out a gospel tract. You don't have a half an hour to go visit somebody who has not been in church for the past 10 weeks. You have services now, four and five services a weekend that lasts about 3 hours, 3.5 hours, when back in the day, one service would last 3 hours. One day of the week, and we cut that down to a half an hour. Why? Because we have a tendency to not allow God in, or to squeeze him out each and every day. That's why. If you have family devotions, family worship, family church, like every Christian family should have, and most do not, you try to squeeze God out and just go for 5 minutes and 10 minutes. This is built in, folks. It's baked in. And so therefore, like Jacob, you've got to make room for God. Space for God. Time for God. You've got to choose to do this. He has to be priority number one. Amen, somebody. And this is where folks lose the battle. They do not make God priority number one. And if you don't do that, everything else is going to be out of order. My daughter Danny's life's verse has been her verse since she's been a little girl. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. She's always put God first, and God is blessing her and has blessed her life. And she is a blessing to this ministry and other ministries. And she's not out of her 20s yet. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the setting up of a stone or pillar of remembrance was a common practice among the people of the ancient Near East. It was most often used as a physical reminder of something that happened there, much as we erect monuments at the sites where significant events take place. God also authorized the Hebrew people to make a tabernacle and later a temple for him, both physical reminders of his presence and place in their lives. So, dear friend, in closing tonight, have you made room for God? Is there room in the end of your life for Jesus? Or have you squeezed God out disrespectfully? You've dishonored God by squeezing him out and just tossing him at the end of the day after you've done all of the stuff you wanted to do. Isn't it amazing how we find time to do everything we want to do, but to pray to God, read God's word, and serve God? God tells us to pray without ceasing, and people only pray once or twice a day, if that. But we have time to get on the phone and talk with our friends for hours about nothing. We have time to play stupid games on our phones that mean absolutely nothing. Hours. There are people who are so addicted to playing games, they have a bathroom situation set up so they don't have to get up and go to the bathroom. Hardly anybody walks out of a 2.5-hour movie. But yet we don't have time for God. One of the reasons why some people don't have time for God is because they don't know God. How about it, dear friend? Do you know him? I told you earlier that Abraham had to get to know God for himself. So did Isaac. This was not passed down. And so did Jacob. Your mother's faith will not get you into heaven, no matter how solid and good it is. Your grandmother's faith will not get you in heaven. You got to know the same God she knew for yourself. So tonight, dear friend, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight is your night in your generation, in your day, and in your time to get to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Jesus Christ. I urge you to trust in him, because he is coming again and you do not want to be left behind. You don't want to be in a situation where your grandmother made it, your grandfather made it, your mother made it, your sister made it, but you didn't make it. You need to get to know Jesus Christ for yourself. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from the power of sin and the consequences of sin, which is eternal hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Getting to know God is a very important thing to do. The devil has come in while I'm preaching the gospel. A bug that I have never seen before just came in as soon as I started preaching the gospel. get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. As one man said today, hell is real, and you need to get prepared. You need to be saved. Hell is bad news. Hell is a place of torture. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place, Jesus said, of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear friend, you do not want to go to the darkness and pain and burning fire of hell. A place that once you go to, you cannot get out. There's no second chance. There is no limbo and there's no purgatory. All of that is nothing but lies. There will not be a second chance. If you want to be saved, you need to be saved now. And here is the good news. You can be saved from hell and go to heaven when you die. By God's mercy, by God's love, and by God's grace. For Jesus Christ said himself in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. For God promises in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. All of that is very important. And yes, God will bless your life with peace that passeth all understanding, joy unspeakable. And you will have tribulation as well as a Christian. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that you're going to have everything is going to go hunky-dory for your life. That is not the case, and that is not the truth. But Jesus Christ said, in this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will overcome the world with Jesus. Pray and ask him to save your soul, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. Repeat after me the sinner's prayer. Mean what you pray. Repeat after me phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have stolen things. I've lied about things. And I have lusted after and coveted after people and things, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways and my evil life, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I just trusted Jesus Christ as... Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.